Will the congregation please stand as the coffin and family are about to enter the church. Please be seated. We have met together today in memory of Mr. Geraint Russell Morgan, who died a week ago today at the age of 91. Let us commit our service to God in prayer. Let us pray. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. We thank you and praise you, our God, that you have revealed yourself to us in your word as a compassionate Father and as a comforting God. And we acknowledge you today to be the only one who can truly comfort in times of sadness and sorrow and loss such as this. And so we ask that each one of us here today may know your help and your comfort. We commit ourselves and our service to you now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May I take this opportunity to express on behalf of all who have come today our sincere sympathy to you, Edwin, on the loss of Geraint, your husband, and to you, Elwyn, on the loss of your father. We do trust and pray that you will know the Lord's help and strength and comfort today and in the days to come. Now, immediately following this service, we will be proceeding to the Bangor New Cemetery for the burial, and everyone is welcome to join us there. The cemetery is next to the crematorium on the main A5 coming into Bangor, and then following the burial there, everyone is welcome back here in the church for refreshments. And if you feel unable to go to the cemetery but wish to remain for the refreshments, then please feel free to stay behind in the church while others are at the cemetery. If anyone would like to make a donation today in memory of Geraint, then there is an opportunity to do so as you leave this service, and any donations will be divided between the work of this church and the work of the Evangelical Movement of Wales, North Wales office here in Upper Bangor. We're now going to sing the first hymn on our service sheets, and that is "The God of Abraham Praise, Who Reigns Enthroned Above, Ancient of Everlasting Days, and God of Love. Jehovah, great I am, by earth and heaven confessed, I bow and bless the sacred name, forever blessed." Standing to sing.
Oh.
Following his further education in Swansea, Geraint left his hometown of Punta de Lais to take up a teaching post in Clanvachlin in Montgomeryshire. And it was during his time there that he and Edwin got married. And after 13 years teaching there, Geraint moved to the school in Colwyn Bay, where he taught for a further 25 years. His primary responsibility throughout his teaching career was the teaching of Scripture. But teaching the Scriptures was more than just a job for Geraint Morgan. Believing that it is the Word of God, the Bible was central to Geraint's whole life, and he sought to be faithful to it in every aspect of his life and his teaching. And it is in the light of that that we're now going to ask David Job, minister of Capelafinion here in Bangor, to come and read to us from 2 Timothy chapter 4, where we have some of the last recorded words of the Apostle Paul. And after David has read from the Word of God, he will introduce our second hymn for us.
These words seem particularly appropriate when we think of Geraint, 2 Timothy chapter 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved, who have longed for his appearing. This is the word of the Lord. Let us sing the second hymn on the leaflet. It is a Welsh hymn. Cyfamod hedd, cyfamod cadarn Dyw. It's a hymn about the covenant of God. And now Geraint would probably preach a sermon about God's covenant. The fact that he has tied himself to his people, not just by an arbitrary decision, but actually settled it with a covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. The first verse tells us it's a covenant of peace. God's mighty covenant. Steadfast it remains. It's not yea and nay. True covenant that cannot be altered. Though their sickness is great, a crowd will safely finish their journey. And the second verse we hear about the free covenant, ordered by the one God in three persons. The old word of promise has become our great gain. It is strong enough to raise us up to life. Its power ever is all the power of God. In the third verse we hear that it's a strong covenant. Who can add anything to it? Neither world nor the grave can break its amazing power. God's eternal order remains unshakable, and like the weak things of the world, it trembles not. And finally, we sing of where we are. Though God's flock slip and fall and are tarnished by sin, there is a covenant to raise them again to life and wash all their uncleanliness away and raise them safe from the grave, free from all impurity. Let us sing this word, this hymn in faith with Geraint.
During their time in Corwin Bay, Geraint and Edwin were instrumental in the establishing of a Welsh-speaking church in the old Corwin part of the town. And the church met for the first 10 years, apparently, in Geraint and Edwin's home before moving into a nearby community centre. And although it has relocated again since then, the church continues to this day. And we are delighted that a number of people, including our pianist this afternoon, we are delighted that a number of people from there are with us today. And we are now going to ask Mr. Wynne Davis, an elder of the church there, to come and to lead us in prayer.
I met Mr. Morgan as a pupil over 50 years ago, and he was known as Mr. Morgan. We became friends, and he was known as Mr. Morgan. And Mrs. Morgan and Mr. Morgan asked us to call him Geraint and Edwin, so we called him Mr. and Mrs. Morgan. Old habits die hard. He became the Reverend Geraint R. Morgan. I need say no more. He was still Mr. Morgan. And as I pray today, he will be known as Mr. Morgan, because he was so special. Let us pray. Ein tad, yr hwn oet yn y nefoedd, sancteiddi'r ddenw, a deled y deyrnas. Diolch i ti'n bod ni yma heddiw yn cael dy gydnabod i fel yn tad, a hynny oherwydd fod i wedi anfon dy anwyl fab, yr arglwyrus i Grist, i fod yn iawn am y pechoda, i fod yn aberth dros yn camwedda, i fod yn waredwr yn hynidia, ac i fod yn frawd a chyfaill i bob un sydd wedi cael ei galw yn ôl dy arfaith rasol di. Da ni wedi cael yn gwneud yn etifeddion yn efoedd ac yn blant i Dduw, a hynny yn unig ar sail gwaith gorffenedig yr Iesu a'r Galfaria. Diolch i ti am y fath drwy Gareth. O Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Dear Lord, we thank you that we're able to come before you today and greet you as our Father, because you gave your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be an atonement for our sins, to be a sacrifice for our transgressions, to be the Saviour of our eternal souls, and to be a friend and brother to all who are called according to your perfect will and purpose. And it is only through the completed work of Christ on Calvary that we have a secure and certain inheritance in heaven. And for that great mercy, we do thank you. Diolch i ti o dad, dy fod yn y nefoedd yn ddiw holl alluog a thragwyddol. Ti di'n creawdwr ni a'n cynhaliwr ni, a ti di'r rhoddwr bob dim da. Ac yn dy ddoethineb, yn dy drigare o thgariad, wyt ti di gweld yn dda i roi ni bobl sydd yn ffyddlon i'n dysgu yn yr ysgrythyra, i'n harwain at yr Iesu, a'n meithrin ar yn taith ysbrydol. A mae yn destun diolch i ni heddiw o arglwydd fod Mr. Morgan wedi bod yn un o'r ffyddloniaid hynny. A mae yna nifer ohono ni yn y gwasanaeth yma heddiw oherwydd bod Mr. Morgan yn rhefn rhagluniaeth wedi cyffwrdd yn bywydau. Ac i ti o arglwydd mae'r diolch a'r clod am hynny. Diolch i ti o arglwydd am ddefnyddio dyweision i ddod ag ogoniant i dy enw mawr dy hun. A mi roedd sancteiddio dy enw y nodwedd bywyd a sgwrs a phregethu Mr. Morgan. A dyma'r anogaeth gyson oedd o'n i roi bob un ohono ni yn bod nina hefyd i geisio sancteiddio dy enw di yn ymbywydau personol ac ymywyd yn heglwysu. O, helpa ni ysgweli di dda i wneud hynny, ac i ni fod yn bobl fydd yn sefyll allan ac yn dod â chlod i'r enw mawr mewn byd sydd mor afradlon a drwg. Trigar ha o arglwydd wrth Gymru heddiw ac anfon yr ysbryd glân unwaith eto i droi yn pobl oddi wrth anffyddiaeth ac chelwydd y diafol, a roedd yn olwg ar dy sancteiddrwydd di. Golwg fydd yn deffro calona yn dwys bigo'r cydwybod gan arwain yn pobl unwaith eto yn ôl at yr arglwyddus i Grist a'i gael yn waredwr cymodlon. We praise you, Father in heaven, for you are an almighty and eternal God. You are our creator, and you sustain us and keep us from day to day. You are the giver of all good things, and in your infinite wisdom, mercy and love, you give us people who faithfully teach us the scriptures and lead us to Christ and nurture and encourage us in our spiritual pilgrimage. And we especially thank you today for one such servant, Mr. Morgan. Lord, there are many of us at this service this afternoon because in your providence, Mr. Morgan touched our lives and taught us the way of salvation, and we praise and thank you for such a gift. And Lord, his greatest desire above all else was to bring glory to your name in his life, his conversations, and in his preaching. He was unfailing in his exhortation. We should desire to glorify your name in everything that we do, in our personal lives and in our church life. Lord, give us the grace and the strength to be able to do that, and that by leading holy lives, we might be recognized as your children and bring glory to your name in this wayward and ungodly world. And we beseech you, Lord, as Mr. Morgan faithfully and continually prayed, to have mercy on our land and send again your Holy Spirit to turn our people from their indifference, from atheism and from believing the lies of the devil. Please give our people a glimpse of your holiness so that hearts might be softened, consciences awakened, and that souls might be saved. Ond arglwydd Cymru oedd unig faes diddordeb a baich gweddi, Mr. Morgan. Oedd ei galon yn ddigon mawr a'i ddiddordeb o yn ddigon eang i gynnwys yr holl fyd. A diolch am ei gysylltiadau di-ri efo cenhadon unigol a chenhadaethau oedd ac sydd yn parhau i genhadu ym mhob rhan o dywynllan. A rhoi ni na yr un brwd rydedd, yr un awydd ar cyffro am weld llwyddiant yr efengil mewn ardaloedd sydd hyd yn hyn mewn anffyddiaeth a phaganiaeth. A gweddion ar i'r golini sydd yn goleuon y tywyllwch ddisglirion y manna hynny hefyd. Bydd gyda thwysion sydd heddiw'n ymdrechu o blaid yr efengil mewn gwahanol rannau o'r byd, a boed iddi unwaith eto gael eich ofleidio a'i chredu gan filoedd. We thank you, Lord, that Wales was not the only field of interest and prayer for Mr. Morgan. His heart was large enough to encompass the whole world. And we thank you for his many links with individual missionaries and missionary societies working in various parts of your vineyard. And please give to us that same enthusiasm, zeal and excitement to see the success of the gospel among those who have not yet heard the gracious call of the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray that the light that shines in the darkness might shine brightly amongst those who are at present in the grasp of ungodliness and false religions. Be with those who are proclaiming your kingdom in other lands, and give success to their labours, we pray. Again, Tad, gwyddion yn arbennig tros Mrs. Morgan ag Elwyn yn eu profedigaeth. Closia atyn nhw os gwelyd i dda, a roedd yn o'r tangnefedd hwnnw sydd uwch law pob deall, gan wybod bod Mr. Morgan wedi rhedeg yr yrfa ac wedi mynd i orffwysfa y meistr oedd mor anwyl iddo. Ac o dad, roi ni fod fel yn cyfaill anwyl, yn ffyddlon mewn gweddi ac yn ffyddlon yn annog yn gilydd yng ngwaith y dirnas. Dyroi'n y dybresenoldeb yn galluogi ni drwy nerth yr ysbryd glân iddo rchafu dy enw ac iddi syfu gweld y deyrnas yn cael ei lle yma yn gwlad ac ar draws y byd. Our Father, we especially commit Mrs. Morgan and Elwyn to your loving care. Draw very near to them in their loss, we pray, and give them that peace which passes all understanding, and knowing that Mr. Morgan faithfully ran the good race and has now entered into that rest which the Master he so loved has prepared for him. And Father, help us to be like our dear friend, faithful in prayer and faithful in encouraging one another in your service. Give us your presence and enable us by the power of the Holy Spirit to make your name known and revered in our land and across the continents. Arglwydda, gyfynnon ni ti dderbyn yn diolch, mawl yn haddoliad, a maddau ni yn pechodau ar sail hyddiant Iesu Grist. Iddo ef, y byddo'r anrhydedd, y clod, y mawl a'r gogoniant, ac ar ei ben, bo'r goron. Dear Lord, we ask you to accept our worship, our thanks and praise, in the name and through the merits of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And to him be the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. In June 1986, having retired from school teaching, Geraint became the minister of this church. And that was a responsibility which he faithfully carried out for the next 9.5 years. But although retiring from full-time ministry in 1995, both he and Edwin have continued to be active and prayerful and greatly respected and much loved members of this church right up to the present day. And so we're going to ask John Goff, an elder in the church here, to come and to read to us from the Word of God.
The reading from God's holy word is taken from the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, and chapter 5 and verses 12 to 21. If you have a copy of the scriptures, you might like to turn to it this morning. May I just say too, it's been a great privilege to have known Geraint. Forever in my mind will be the memory of a train journey back from Crewe, where we met himself and Edwin on the platform, I did anyway, and the journey back to Colwyn Bay, because that's where you were living at the time, just flew by as we talked about the things of God. That was the beginning of a very long relationship, both through the Christian bookshop and then ultimately, as we have just heard, through the church here. And may I just say that in his passing, I have lost a particular great friend and one who prayed an awful lot. Let's read God's word from Romans 5 verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, John. On an occasion like this, we are naturally inclined to reflect on our connection or our relationship to the person who has passed away. For example, some of us here this morning will be reflecting on the Mr. Morgan we knew as a school teacher in Clanfachlin or Colwyn Bay. And it's great, as we've already heard in the case of Wynne, it's great that there are people here today who first knew Mr. Morgan as their teacher in both of those places. Others of us will be reflecting on the Geraint Morgan that we knew as our church minister, either in Colwyn Bay or here in Ebenezer Bangor. Some of us are perhaps reflecting on the Geraint that we knew as a close friend, or perhaps as a neighbour. And of course, for you, Edwin and Elwyn, you will no doubt be reflecting on the Geraint that you knew as a beloved husband and as a loving father. It's a time when we reflect on our relationship to the person who has passed away. But then an occasion like this is also a reminder of our relationship to someone else. Did you hear what the Apostle Paul said in those verses from Romans chapter 5 that John read a few minutes ago? Paul says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned." It is in this way, says Paul, that death has come to all men. Have you ever noticed that both the rich and the poor of our world die? Have you ever noticed that both the educated and the uneducated within our society die? Both the famous and the nobodies die. Why is it that all of us, without exception, ends up dying? What is it, why is it that we all end up attending a funeral one day, not as a member of the congregation, but as the person being buried or cremated? Why is that? Is it purely a matter of medical science? If that were the case, then surely all the scientists in the world would stop what they are doing and they would invest all their energy and all their time and all their resources into eliminating this one scientific problem, the problem of death. Isn't that the one problem that you would want them to get rid of as soon as possible? Isn't that the one problem you would want them to eliminate once and for all? I'm sure it is. And the older you are, the quicker you would hope that they find the solution. But you know as well as I do that however much progress is made in the field of medicine, it won't eliminate the problem of death. And the reason it won't is because there is another, bigger, more fundamental reason why we all end up dying. The Bible says that death comes to all men because all have sinned. And the point that Paul is making here in Romans chapter 5 is that the link between sin and death, that link can be traced away back to one man. And that was the very first man to walk on this planet, the man called Adam. That's who Paul is referring to here when he says that sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. Now you and I are familiar with political heads of state making decisions and signing treaties which subsequently affect us all in one way or another. For example, our Prime Minister signs a treaty in London or Brussels or New York or wherever, and what he does there can have practical and profound consequences for us here. The decisions they make and the actions they take as heads of state affect everyone whom they represent. And likewise, as the head of our race, not just the head of state, but as the head of our entire race, Adam's actions had consequences for everyone whom he represented, including you and me. When he sinned in the Garden of Eden, there was a sense in which we all sinned. When he came under the sentence of death because of his disobedience towards his Creator, we all came under that sentence of death. And just in case you think that's unfair this afternoon, then let me remind you that our own personal subsequent disobedience towards God on many occasions has demonstrated how much we too have deserved that penalty from God, for the simple reason that the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's why we all end up dying. Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. You see, an occasion such as this is not only a reminder of our relationship to the person who has passed away, it is also a reminder of our relationship to Adam. And the presence of this coffin is a vivid reminder this afternoon of the devastating consequences which that relationship has brought us. But did you notice in those verses that John read from Romans chapter 5 that Paul was not only speaking about the consequences which Adam's actions have brought upon others, he was also speaking about the consequences which someone else's actions have brought upon others. Throughout that passage, Paul has drawn a contrast between two men. Did you notice that? He's drawn a contrast between two men, their actions, and the consequences of their actions. And the two men he is contrasting is Adam and Jesus Christ. He has drawn a contrast between the disobedience of Adam and its frightening consequences, and the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ and its wonderful consequences. And here is what he says in verse 17. He says, "For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through that one man, Jesus Christ?" Did you notice the striking contrast there? The disobedience of Adam brought in a reign of death, whereas the obedience of Jesus Christ has brought in a reign of life for all those who, says Paul, have received God's abundant provision of grace. The reason Geraint Morgan was the good, gracious and godly man that we all know him to be was not because he was somehow born different from the rest of us. It was not the case that he somehow managed to escape this relationship with Adam that we have all had, and therefore he did not suffer those consequences of sin and death. No, the presence of his coffin today is a vivid testimony to the fact that he too was a descendant of Adam, with all the consequences which that relationship brings. But what made all the difference for Geraint was that as a young lad, he came to appreciate the undeserved love which God has shown to the sinful and condemned descendants of Adam. It is an undeserved love that was demonstrated in the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, as we have just been remembering over Christmas. But it is an undeserved love which was supremely demonstrated in the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross, when he died as a sacrifice in the place of sinners. That is God's abundant provision of grace for sinful people like you and me. And knowing that that grace of God was his only hope of being forgiven and of being accepted by God, Geraint received it as an undeserved gift. He put his faith and his trust and his confidence entirely in that loving and gracious provision that God had made for him in the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And in doing so, Geraint was brought into relationship with Jesus Christ. Geraint was brought into union with Jesus Christ. Christ, can you believe it? Christ became his new head. And just as the actions of Adam, his previous head, had had dreadful consequences for Geraint, so the actions of Jesus, his new head, led to wonderful and glorious consequences for him. For example, says Paul in verse 19, for just as through the obedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the man, one man, the many will be made righteous. In other words, says Paul, just as the disobedience of Adam brought all whom he represented into a guilty and condemned standing before God, so the perfect obedience of Jesus brings all whom he represents into a righteous standing before God. You see, in his death upon the cross, the perfect and sinless Jesus was taking the punishment which sinners like you and me deserved from God. And that is why a just and holy God can forgive and pardon and justify all those who put their trust in Jesus. Their sins have been credited to Jesus' account and its penalty and punishment paid by him at the cross. And through trusting in what Jesus has done, his perfect righteousness is credited to their account, the result being that they now have a right, a righteous, a not guilty standing before God. That is what happened to Geraint Morgan almost 80 years ago. That is when he received God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness, to use Paul's words in verse 17. And having done so, says Paul, he will reign in life. Whereas his relationship to Adam has resulted in his physical death, his relationship to Jesus Christ has resulted in Geraint being the possessor of life, spiritual life, eternal life, an eternal life which has equipped him and enabled him to be with Christ already today, an eternal life which will see his dead body raised to life on a future day, an eternal life which will enable him to be in the presence of God throughout eternity. And so we're here today. We're here today not only to face up to the reality of the consequences which Geraint's former relationship to Adam have brought him. We are also here to rejoice in the enormous and the eternal blessings which his relationship to Jesus Christ has brought him. Blessings such as the forgiveness of all his sins. Blessings such as his righteous standing before God. Blessings such as his acceptance by God into glory. Blessings such as his assurance of life everlasting. Those are the blessings. And only some of them. But those are the blessings that are enjoyed by all those who, like Geraint, have Christ as their head. Those are the blessings that are enjoyed by all those who are united, like Geraint, who are united to Jesus Christ by faith. Those are the blessings that are enjoyed by all those who, by God's grace and through faith, have been brought into relationship with Christ. And so, that being the case, can I encourage you this afternoon to pause for a moment and to reflect yes on your relationship to Geraint Morgan, but also on your relationship to Adam and its implications. And then, having done that, can I encourage you to consider whether you have ever, through faith, been brought into relationship with Jesus Christ as Geraint was? Because when it comes to this occasion in your life, it is a relationship to Jesus Christ which makes all the difference. And so it's worth thinking about. We're going to stand and to sing our third and closing hymn. It's the third hymn on the hymn sheet, and that is "My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." The third verse reads, "His oath, his covenant, and his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay." And after we've sung this hymn, we'll remain standing for the benediction and continue to remain standing while the coffin is removed and the family leave the church. Let us stand to sing, "My Hope Is Built." To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him, our Lord Jesus Christ, be glory and power forever and ever. Amen.